This is John chapter 21 from verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter,
"Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?"
"Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said,
"Feed my lambs."
Again, Jesus said,
"Simon, son of John, do you love me?"
He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said,
"Take care of my sheep."
The third time he said to him,
"Simon, son of John, do you love me?"
Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said,
"Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go."
Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him,
"Follow me."
Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered,
"If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me."
Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said,
"If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?"
This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written.
Well, over the last year, we've all had to get used to doing lots of new things. And one result of that is that we've had more opportunities than normal to feel like we've failed at things. Perhaps you've had to homeschool your children and you found it to be relentless hard work. And despite all the efforts you've put in, you worry that you have failed your children. Perhaps there are relatives or friends you haven't really kept up with during lockdown. And then you've discovered that they've been struggling with loneliness. Perhaps you're one of those people who now works from home most of the time and you've seen other people apparently take to it like a duck to water, but for you it seems to have turned life into, well, the world's dullest nightmare, where night and day and weekday and weekend all blur into one and you can't seem to switch off from work anymore. But perhaps you also feel like you've been a failure in your Christian life. Maybe evangelism never seemed easy before, but now in lockdown it seems to be downright impossible. Maybe because your routine has been turned on its head, it seems that the prayer and Bible reading have dropped off the radar. Do we feel like useless people? Does it feel like we haven't been much use to Jesus over the last year? And does it feel like that's not likely to change once things get back to as close to normal as they do? Do we feel like failures? Well, if you go looking through the Bible for people who felt like failures, I imagine Peter will probably be somewhere near the top of your list. So he'd gone badly wrong. He'd abandoned Jesus on the night he was arrested, and he'd even claimed three times that he wasn't a follower of Jesus to save his own hide. And you can read about that in John chapter 18. But today we're going to see how Jesus treated Peter after that. And we'll see that remarkably, Jesus treats him with gentleness and forgiveness. And that Peter's failures don't make him useless. Far from it. Jesus had a key and foundational role for Peter in the early church. But Jesus does also warn Peter that following him and being useful will be costly, and that although he will pay a higher cost than others, he needs to stick to the path that Jesus has prepared for him. Now, when we come to the Bible and we read about people like Peter, we need to be careful. He had a special apostolic role. We're not always meant to see ourselves in Peter's shoes or something like that. But although we don't have the particular job to do that Peter did, there are some general principles here that do apply to all of us. And so the main thing I want us to see today is that Jesus calls failures to serve him. Jesus calls failures to serve him. So let me read verses 15 to 17 again. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." A third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And Jesus is very gentle here. He doesn't drag Peter over the coals. There's no sort of, "Where were you when I needed you most?" Nothing like that. All he asks is, "Do you love me?" Three times. And now Peter had always been one to make big, bold, overconfident claims. We can see the exchange in John chapter 13 when Jesus predicts Peter's denial. So Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." So when Jesus asks, "Do you love me more than these," meaning the other disciples, he doesn't mean, "Do you love me more than you love them?" Peter would always claim that no one could outdo him in his devotion to Jesus. So now Jesus is saying, "Well, is it true, Peter? Do you really love me more than they love me?" And Peter's overconfidence is gone now. But he knows who Jesus is. He knows that Jesus knows everything. And he knows that he does love Jesus, even though he failed him. And so rather than boasting, all he says is, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus does know that it's true. And he tells Peter that he still has a task for him to do, to be part of leading the early church. So he tells Peter, "Feed my lambs," meaning his people. And this exchange happens with a few variations in wording three times, mirroring Peter's three denials. Now, Peter's failure must have weighed heavily on him, and if Jesus hadn't dealt with it, it could well have followed Peter around for the rest of his life. And even though Jesus is tackling the matter gently here, it is hard for Peter to bear, to face up to it. And by the third time, John records that Peter is hurt. All he can do is cry out, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." But even though his failure was hard to face up to, Jesus is showing them that each denial, each failure, is forgiven. These failures don't relegate him to some sort of second-class status where he can't serve Jesus or be useful to him anymore. Every time Peter tells Jesus that he does love him, Jesus tells him to look after his sheep, his people. Because Peter was right, Jesus really did know that he loved him. And even though Peter had always been headstrong and said and did all sorts of daft things, like telling Jesus he should stop talking about dying in Matthew chapter 16, despite all of that, Jesus knew. And Jesus died for Peter so that all his sins and his failures could be forgiven. Peter's failure doesn't exclude him from being a Christian. It doesn't exclude him from God's kingdom. And it doesn't exclude him from being able to serve Jesus, not even in this key position that Jesus had for him as an apostle. Peter's failures are in the past, and they're forgiven and dealt with. And that's a huge comfort to us, isn't it? If even Peter's repeated denial of Jesus doesn't put him on the scrap heap or leave him rejected by Jesus, then our mistakes can be forgiven too. And we can still serve Jesus even though we don't deserve to. And perhaps there have been times when you haven't stood up for Jesus and that weighs on you. I remember very clearly when I was at university, the supervisor for my final year project just kind of remarking in the lab in an offhand way that you'd have to be a bit thick to believe in God. And I thought, well, I could say something here. And in fact, I knew I should say something. But I didn't. I chickened out. I failed. And that weighed on me. Was I even a Christian if I didn't really stand up for Jesus when it counted? But just like Peter, Jesus knows that I love him. And my failure is forgiven. Our relationship is restored. And Jesus still has work for me to do. And maybe you have a similar experience in your past, or maybe there's some past sin that keeps you up at night when you think about it, and you wonder whether your failure makes you useless to Jesus. But Jesus is in the business of forgiving and restoring repentant failures, just like he did with Peter. So bring those things to him. He knows those who love him, and then you can leave them behind. Perhaps you're here or you're watching online and you know you're not a Christian, and you think, well, you couldn't be one, because maybe you think, well, you couldn't really keep it up, or you think maybe Jesus wouldn't be interested in you because of your past. Well, the good news is that Christians aren't people who've got everything sorted. We are not people with unblemished pasts. We're not people who never mess up. We are all forgiven failures. But we have a God who delights to use us in his service, having rescued us, even though we don't deserve it. And you can be one of them too. But the conversation between Peter and Jesus doesn't end there. Jesus does have more to say. Because he was always upfront with his disciples that following Jesus will be costly. Following Jesus will be costly. So after this wonderful, gentle restoration, Jesus does have something rather surprising to say. And let me read from verse 18. "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." So although it's not recorded in the Bible, as far as we know, Peter was crucified probably about 30 years or so after this conversation with Jesus. And that would have meant that his arms really were stretched out. And it seems that by the time John wrote his gospel, this had already happened. So no sooner has Jesus restored Peter and given him the task of being a shepherd to his people, he tells them that he really will lay down his life for Jesus after all. And Jesus had already warned his disciples before his death that if they followed him, they'd be treated the way that he was. And that is still true today. Jesus doesn't call many of us to die for him, particularly not in this country. But we are to expect that following him will mean persecution and hardship. Maybe sharing the gospel has cost you friendships with people who are insulted that you believe they're a sinner. Perhaps you've tried to set up a prayer group or run a Christianity Explored course or something at work, and someone has whispered to you that the managers have now decided that you're not really a good team fit, or you have some worrying views, and that has impacted your career. Perhaps you remember the case of Felix Ngole, who I hope I got his name right. He was thrown off his university course. He was training to be a social worker, not for anything he did professionally, but because of some Facebook posts where he stood by the Bible's position on homosexuality. Jesus is very clear with us up front: following him will be costly. But he says this as the one who is willing to bear an even greater cost, because he died for our sins. And that meant that we could be restored to him and have eternal life. Now, unlike Peter, we won't know in advance exactly what the cost of following Jesus will be. But nonetheless, he tells us it will be tough. And then he says, "Follow me." And we know that Peter did follow Jesus despite the cost. So like Peter, look to Jesus, understand the cost that he paid, see that he allows us to serve him and bring him glory, even though we're failures. Rejoice in that. And then follow him into glory and eternity, despite the cost. And while we're on the subject of Jesus not calling us all to die like Peter, the next thing John touches on is that the cost of following Jesus will vary. The costs will vary. Let me read verses 20 to 23 again. "Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, 'Lord, who is going to betray you?'" And that's just John's way of talking about himself. "When Peter saw him, he asked, 'Lord, what about him?' Jesus answered, 'If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me.' Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, 'If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?'" So one concern John has here is putting an end to this persistent rumour that was going around that he wouldn't die before Jesus returned. And since that wasn't what Jesus had said, John was concerned about the effect it would have on the church if he did die before Jesus returned. So he really drives home here that Jesus wasn't saying anything about whether or not he would die. He was making a totally different point. And obviously we know now that John is long dead and that rumour isn't a concern for us. But the point Jesus was actually making certainly is relevant. Peter has just been told that following Jesus means being executed. And he turns, sees John behind them and says, "Well, what about him?" As if to ask, will the cost be the same for him? And Jesus replies pretty blunt. never mind him. I've told you what following me will cost you, and I've called you to follow me. So follow. When Jesus told his disciples that following him would be costly, he never said that the costs would be equal for all of us. And you've only got to look at the history of the church down the centuries to see that that's the case. But there is a risk that we might compare ourselves to other Christians and resent the differences. So if you are the person who's tried to share the gospel at work and you've been persecuted for it, it might seem galling if a friend who works at another company shares the gospel there, sees several friends become Christians and experiences no backlash whatsoever. Or maybe if you're a bit younger, you invite your school friends to youth group and all that happens is they don't want to hang out with you anymore, and someone else invites all of their friends to youth group and they all come. And you know, that can be hard to take, and maybe we might want to go to God and say, well, hang on, what's going on? Perhaps the best way to think about this is how John describes Peter's death in verse 19. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. By staying faithful to Jesus and continuing to share the gospel, even though it would get him killed, Peter brought glory to God. And John, and again this isn't recorded in the Bible, but as far as we know, he lived to a ripe old age and he was a key leader in the early church for many decades. And by being a long-standing eyewitness to Jesus and a source of leadership and encouragement, he too brought glory to God in a different way. So if your friend's evangelism at another company leads to people being saved, that brings glory to God in one way. And if your attempts to share the gospel where you work keep being rejected, then by persevering and showing that your relationship with God is more important than what other people think of you, then you're bringing glory to God in another way. God makes good plans for each of us. The costs are different, but we know, and Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, and we can work for his glory. Even though God's plans for each of us are different, they are all good. And we can be confident that the tasks God gives us and the costs he asks us to bear aren't mistakes. Even Peter's crucifixion wasn't a mistake. So listen to what Jesus says to Peter here. Don't compare what he asks of you with what he asks of others. Instead, remember that you are a forgiven and restored failure, that you have the undeserved privilege of serving him, and you can bring glory to the one who died to save you. So serve him faithfully in whatever task he gives you, and when you fail, don't lose hope. Just like Peter, our failures can be forgiven. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you sent Jesus to save failures, not to reject or condemn us. Thank you that for those who love you, there is always forgiveness, always restoration, and always ways to serve to bring you glory, despite our weakness. Amen.